I want to speak to you today about the heart of God. I want to speak to you about some of the great promises that are found in the book of Romans. We've been looking in the book of Romans and a lot of different ideas and topics and themes, and there's just so many things in the book of Romans. As I continue to read it over and over again, I keep thinking, boy, that's just so good, and we've got to come back to it. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about some of the great promises of God from the book of Romans. There are some really neat promises all throughout the book of Romans, and this morning I want to talk to you about some thoughts and some practical words from Romans about an area that might be an area that's a struggle for you. I've said before, as we've been reading through the book of Romans, as we look at different things, Satan has different discouragements for different people. There are some things that Satan might find a group of people, and that really is a temptation for them, or that really is a place where they struggle in their faith, and that might not be your issue, but there might be something else that Satan really comes after you in that area. And that's how I see the book of Romans. There's so many different areas that God gives us His counsel from the book of Romans in. And today I want to talk to you about an area in chapter 8. And so if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read 13 verses. And then I want to talk to you about some great promises from God in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. I'm going to begin reading at verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Truly, this is one of the amazing, powerful scriptures of promise about the heart of God for His people. I believe that we find in these words, in this reading today, some of the most encouraging and important promises that you can remember about the heart of God. Romans is a book of promises, and especially chapter 8. Chapter 8 is kind of the middle of the book of Romans, and there's so many things that Paul talks about in Romans. Some of them are a little bit more theological and what we believe and why. Some are very practical about how we put into practice what we believe in our relationships. And this part of the book, and this part, chapter 8 to me, is about the heart of God, of how we deal with life, how we deal with our circumstances, how do we see problems, how do we make it through life when things are difficult. You may be here today and you could be in this category where Satan would want to destroy you or discourage you and draw you away by life's pressures. I realize that all of us go through times in our lives when we feel like maybe we live in a crucible. We feel the circumstances around us are difficult and painful, and we wonder, is God there in the midst of those problems and pressures? Well, Paul writes, and in chapter 8, he's writing to tell us that God is there all the time. He never takes His eye off us, but He is watching us. The Apostle Paul, if you read about his life and know what he went through, you know that the Apostle Paul has lived in a crucible of pressure. He's experienced all kinds of things in his life, and through the time that he was a Christian preaching the gospel. He's been physically abused. He's been persecuted. He tried to have been killed several times. He faced times of discouragement. He had a physical problem that we really don't know much about. Life was not easy for Paul. He knew also that in the 21st century that Christians sometimes would go through very challenging times through their faith. For some, it would be the circumstances of their family. Some might be financial. Some might be health. Life, Paul knew, would not be easy. It wasn't easy for him, but yet Paul gives us some promises in this Scripture to help us to hold on and to have a faith that's real in life's most difficult issues. And so he writes here to help us when we hurt. He writes here in chapter 8 to help us to hold on when we're under pressure. He writes here to help us to understand that problems and hurts are not beyond the scope of the knowledge of God. God knows what we're going through. He knows where you're at, and He will be with you in the midst of that. And I believe Paul writes in chapter 8, so that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real all the time. There's never a time in our lives when God is just kind of behind the curtain and we can't really be sure whether He knows where we're at. Paul writes chapter 8 to pull the curtain open and say God's always with you no matter what. And chapter 8 consists of these great promises that show us how God is with us, how God cares about your life. And He knows the circumstances in your life. Some people want to believe about God that if you really know God, then God gives you everything you want and everything you like, and there's no problems, there's no pressure, there's no disasters, there's no catastrophes, there's no medical failure, there's no people failure in your life. That's what it means to be a godly person. Well, the reality is that's not true at all. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. The reality of life is that Christians and non-Christians all have problems and hurts and pains, and Paul knew that. And I believe chapter 8 is to help us to be strong no matter whether we're in those times that are difficult or we're in times that are good. Paul is writing so that our faith will be strong when we encounter those times. It will be strong when we feel discouraged. It will be strong when we encounter problems that seem so overwhelming to us that when we feel lonely or when we're afraid or there's a pain or a problem in a relationship and we'd be tempted to give up on somebody and give up on God. Paul writes this chapter to remind us of the faithfulness and the presence of God. The context of these words are for those who feel overwhelmed by life's problems. The context of chapter, I think, 8 in general is generally for those that are going through difficult times. And so Paul gives us a series of promises to strengthen our faith. In every one of these promises, God is saying, you are never alone. Every one of these, I have 5 points that I want to talk about this morning about what God says is a promise to you when you go through a difficult time. In every single one of them, the bottom line is this, you are never alone, and I am always with you. God is always with you. If you're a child of God, no matter what goes on in your life. Let's look at these promises. The first promise that I want to mention this morning from chapter 26 is this. The first promise is the presence of the Holy Spirit. God promises you that when you become a Christian, something changes. When you come to the place of personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ask Jesus to forgive you and come into your life, God gives you something very special, and that's the presence of His Holy Spirit. There's so much about the Holy Spirit that nobody understands. We may never understand until maybe when we get to heaven. Then it'll all make sense. But there's something present in the life of every believer that God gives us and God promises to us when we become Christians. And when He gives us that gift, He gives us the potential of understanding the presence of God in the midst of everything that we deal with. Problems and pain and difficulty, the Holy Spirit is given to help us in every stage of our life. It says very clearly in verse 26, the first promise is this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Whatever your weak point is, whether it's a particular element of your faith, whether it's an element of your character, whether it's an element of not knowing how to deal with circumstances in your life, I want you to know that the Bible promises that God gives you the Holy Spirit to help you with that problem. The Holy Spirit is there. He is present. God's promise to you and to me is that the Spirit is there to help us. He is present. He is watching. He is perceptive. I'll tell you something else about the Holy Spirit in this promise is it says that He's interceding for the saints in accordance with God's will. Not only is the Holy Spirit there and listening and watching, but somehow He's active in your life. And when you cooperate with the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit, which is much of what the first part of chapter 8 talks about, walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, then you have the power of the Spirit. And Paul says here that if you are listening and cooperating to the Holy Spirit of God, then you will see Him active in your problems, in your life, in the things that you deal with. God gives us a great promise of the Holy Spirit. We really could just stop right there and park on that one. But this morning I want to move on to four other promises in chapter 8. Maybe if God would lay it on your heart, go back to this chapter when you have time today or tomorrow, when you have time, and just read and think about what it means that God gives you the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life. It's a great promise. The second promise that I want to focus on this morning is that God promises that He's always at work in your life. Not only does God promise that His Holy Spirit is in you, but God also promises that He's always at work in your life. He's never sleeping. He is always active. Verse 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." Several things about that verse. In fact, there's four things about this verse that I want to highlight. But number one is, we know that in all things God works. God is working in the lives of His believers. He's working in the lives of His disciples. We know that. Paul had an absolute confidence. Somehow this amazing man in the first century, as God was revealing Himself in the early church and Paul was telling people about Jesus, he somehow put down, the Holy Spirit led him to write down these words, "We know that in all things God works." The truth is, there's not a circumstance in your life, if you're a believer, that God is not working. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know what He's going to show you. But I can promise you that God is working. An infinite, eternal, amazing God can do that. You and I can't do that. We might try to work in each other's lives when we know something or we get to know a need or a problem and we do our best to encourage or give counsel if it's acceptable or whatever. But, you know, that's pretty shallow compared to the working of God. But He's always working in your life. Maybe you're dealing with something right now that seems impossible and overwhelming and you don't know how to get rid of it. You don't know how to deal with it. I want you to know that there's a God who wants to work in it. The key is to accept that. And by faith, embrace the working of God in your heart and your spirit. God wants to work in every part of your life. He never quits. He never sleeps. God works in the middle of our circumstances. God also sees the past, the present, and the future. That's a view that we don't have. We really only have a real picture of the past. We don't even have a good picture of the present. But God sees the future. God knows what you need. He knows exactly where you're at. And He never stops. And we know, I love that term, we know that in all things God works. I want you to know in your heart that God is working in your life. Maybe you're close to giving up on God in some area of your life. I can't change. It can't be different. That's not true. If you give your problem and your circumstances to God, God will work in those and change you and help you. That's the promise. The promise isn't that God will deliver you from problems. The promise isn't that God will fix your financial problems or fix your family or fix you medically. That's not the promise. The promise is I will work in them. And we know that in all things God works. I want you to know that God can be trusted. You can be sure. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt based on who God is that He's working in your heart, in your life. And He says in all things, it doesn't say in some things God works or in things that are pleasant or things that we understand God works. It says clearly in the Greek, in every single thing of our lives, God is working. everything. God's not surprised by what happened in your life. He's not surprised by what happened 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 years ago or on Wednesday night. He's not caught off guard like, oh, I can't do anything for him. He's too far gone or he really messed it up. I'm done with him. That's not the kind of God who we love. He knows where we're at and He's working and He wants to help us in every circumstance. If you can memorize this verse in your spirit, do that. Because there's so many things in this that's so true. We know that in all things God works. He's not wringing His hands in heaven. He's trying. He's working. He wants to work in your heart and your life. He knows your heart. He knows if you love Him. He says, for the good of those who love Him, God is working. I don't believe this verse is saying that God doesn't work in the lives of people who don't love Him. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying, I can work in the lives of people who love me. I can work in the lives of people who trust me. In the lives of people who put their trust in me. For without faith it is impossible to please God. Unless you trust God and you take that step to say, God, I can't do it on my own and I need you. Unless you take that step, then you can't have the benefits and blessings of the Spirit of God. But when you love Him, when you trust Him, you can know in your heart that in all things God works. It's not that God says, well, if you don't love me, I give up on you. I don't want to help you. It may be that He says, I can't force you. There are people that hold on to problems and hurts and bitterness and the past. And God just wants them to let go of it and let Him to bring healing to them. That's what God wants to do. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. We know that God will not force His way. Nor does this promise imply that God makes everything good for us. Some people want to read this. We know that in all things God makes everything good for those that love Him. That's not what it says. It says, in all things God works for the good. There's a big difference in that. You know, I have heard this verse quoted a lot as a preacher. I've quoted it. People have probably, this is one of the best known verses that people remember when they go through times of suffering. And I've heard a lot of people talk about this, sometimes positive and sometimes very negative. I've heard people say to me who are really hurting, you know, somebody said to me, they quoted this verse and it makes me so mad. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. It makes them angry because I don't know where God is. I haven't seen God. God hasn't changed me. God hasn't changed my problem. God hasn't changed my life. I realize that this verse is so powerful and so true that it kind of sits at that place that if it's true in your life, it will bless you so much. And if you haven't come to the place of understanding and receiving it in your heart, it will be a curse to you. You'll look at God with anger. You'll look with God that He can't do it. You'll look with God and say, He must not love me. But that's not true at all. The truth is God loves you so much that He gives us this promise in verse 28. You have to be willing to embrace it and accept that God can work in your heart and your life if you love Him, if you give it to Him, if you trust Him. I'm afraid also some people believe that this promise means that if we just kind of turn a little bit over to God, God fixes everything for us. We might hear this promise out of context. God fixes everything for those that love Him. That's very misleading and it's not true. God's working to bring about your good. That might not be measured in ways that you realize. God sees things that you don't. As I said, He sees the future and you don't. God also sees everything in your heart and your life. He knows what your real needs are. God doesn't measure His help for us based on our material needs or how much pain or problems we have. God wants to do something much deeper inside of you. He wants to bring a healing to you spiritually that's even more important than all the other things in life that we struggle with and we think about. For we know that in all things God works. And verse 29 tells us the purpose why God's working. The purpose why God's working in our lives is that His purpose will be that we will be conformed to the likeness of His Son. You might not be expecting that at all as you read the first part of the verse. that the purpose of God in working in your life is that you'll be more like Jesus. You think, well, what good does that do me? Oh, it does an amazing good in our lives. It changes the way we think and the way we act and the way we relate and how we deal with our problems, how we deal with the past, how we deal with our future, how we deal with the things of life that come to us to understand who have been called according to His purpose. You see, God has a purpose in your life, and Paul simply tells us in verse 29 it has to do with being like Jesus, being like Him. For those, in verse 29 it says, He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Somehow God wants you to be more like Jesus. God wants you to be more like Him in your attitude, in your spirit. You might think, well, how does that help my marriage? It'll help your marriage immensely if you're more like Jesus. How will that help my finances? You'll make a lot better decisions. God will slow you down enough that you can hear the truth about what you're doing with your life and your priorities and your time and your attitude, your morals. When you slow down enough to say, I want to be like Jesus, then God can form you and shape you and make all kinds of changes in your life and your spirit. God can change your body. He can change your attitude. He can change things about you when you give it completely to Him. His purpose is that you'll be like Jesus, holy for Him. So He works in every circumstance of our lives to shape us to be more like Him. I said before, I think this verse 28 is often kind of, not intentionally, but it's kind of misquoted out of context that God's going to fix everything. No, what God promises, even in the midst of all the problems of life, is not that He's going to fix everything, but He wants to make you more like Him. And you become more like Him, and you begin to be shaped and formed, and the problems of life will be different to you. Your circumstances will seem very different. Sometimes the circumstances change completely, and sometimes God changes you in the midst of those circumstances. We don't always understand why or how God's working. And I, for one, and you, for two, I'm sure you don't understand why God allows certain things in people's lives and problems and tragedies and pain. I don't understand a whole lot about it. And some of you have been in places that are so dark and painful. And I know you struggle to understand, is God real in what you've seen and where you've been and what you feel? I can only understand that because it's been described to me. Some of you that have gone through broken relationships, some of you that have seen horrible things in the world, I don't want this verse to be trite to you. I want you to know that God knows where you're at. He cares deeply about what you've gone through. To be conformed to the likeness of His Son. That's God's purpose in your life. That may seem off the track of where you've been. But honestly, that's exactly where you need God in your life. To help you to understand His heart. And to know who Jesus is. His Son. Because He could bring help and healing to whatever it is that you've experienced in your life. Only He can do that. It may not seem so logical, this verse sometimes, but it's so true. He will work in every circumstance for those that love Him, that trust Him, for those that open their arms and say, God, I can't figure it out, but I can trust You. There's a song that I heard many years ago. It's sung at some funerals that I've been at. And when you can't see the hand of God, you know, you can't see God, you can trust His heart. And that's very true. It's very true. That's the promise in Romans chapter 28. We can allow God to work in our circumstances. We don't understand why or how, but God is working to shape us. You remember several months ago, I talked about Mount Rushmore. And I've had some pictures up of Mount Rushmore. And remember how, you know, the mountain may not understand what the sculptor's doing to it. You know, all he knows is it hurts. I don't know if mountains have feelings, but, you know, the chipping and the blasting and all those things. Sometimes for some people, that's what life seems like. They just feel like they've been blasted and chipped, broken, or maybe just one big explosion. I don't know. But if you're there and you feel that, I want you to know that there's a mighty sculptor. He can be trusted with everything in your life. He is trustworthy. God is working a process within you and I that's amazing. We don't see it, we don't understand it, but He's working within you. Verse 29 and 30 tells us that process. Those He predestined, He called. Those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Sometimes the promise of God working in our circumstances can seem pretty distant. When we have pain and tragedy, this promise may sound a bit hollow, but He's there. And we can choose the path of faith. There is no substitute for trusting God. What shall we say then? The next verse says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Paul just kind of says at that point, he says, well, this is the way it is. Trust God in your circumstances. And if that kind of God loves you so much, what possibly can stand against you? If you trust God, what can stand against you? This is one of those rhetorical questions that Paul writes. For if God, verse 30 says, what then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? We can have confidence in Him. He gave us His Son. He gave us His grace. He said He's the righteous judge. He justifies us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's always at work. And then we come to another great verse, promise in verse 34. Verse 34 says again about how, who is that who that condemns Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. Verse 34 says, not only is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives here, but Jesus is in heaven and He's interceding for us. These are things we don't understand. I certainly don't understand what it means that Jesus is interceding for me. But the promise in verse 34 is that not only is the Holy Spirit active in our lives, but Jesus is aware in heaven. And Jesus is interceding for us. He knows where we're at. And He loves us so much. And He cares deeply about us. Somehow Jesus is there too today. Not only what He did in the past, but what He's doing in the future. What He's doing today. We know what He's doing in the future. He's preparing a place for us. We are not alone. Jesus is there to help us and strengthen us. You have the love of the Father. You have the Holy Spirit. And you have Jesus, all who are interceding for us and caring for us. And then one more promise and I'll be finished this morning. This is just a fantastic, I just can only mention it this morning. And that is the promise of God's love and affection on us, no matter what goes on in our lives. If you keep reading there, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? I mean, here is Paul. He's writing to Romans. You know who they were? They lived in Rome. They were being persecuted. They were being thrown to the lions, or would be within about 10 years of when they received this letter. They were being killed for their faith and all kinds of other issues too. But you know, Paul's writing to these people and said, can any of this stuff going on in your life separate you from God? Nope, nothing can. Nothing can if you are in Jesus. Paul understood trouble. Don't think the book of Romans was written to people that lived in a pillow box. You know, a Kleenex box, you know, soft and cushy and everything great. No, Romans was written to people that were really going through it. So no matter what you're going through, remember that. God's Word is for you and I also. In Jesus, you are secure in God's love. If you stay close to Him, again, if we stay close to Him, the last verse, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you get close to Jesus, again, you be like Jesus, if you get close to Jesus, then there is nothing that can separate you from God. If you're like Jesus and you seek Jesus and your heart is open and you're following Him, God will be so close to you. God will help you with every circumstance in your life. And then Paul can say with great confidence what he says in verse 37, "Now in all these things we are more than conquerors to Him who loved us." There's another one. More than conquerors. What a phrase. Paul says, you know, in all these things, in all these circumstances, we are more than conquerors. You know, he understood conquerors. I mean, there he was in the Roman Empire. He knew the laurel, the wreath, and what it meant. And he knew the Roman soldiers and the power, the Roman Senate and the might. He knew what conquering meant. And he said, in all the circumstances of life, because of Jesus, we can be conquerors in Him. That should be a great encouragement to us in our faith. God is always there. He will love you through every twist and turn in your life. These are great promises. I hope they'll be real to you. I hope if you have time, you can go back and just read and think about these promises of God's presence in your life. Would you stand with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Romans chapter 8. It's another great place, another great chapter, a great chapter of how You are with us no matter what. And I pray today that for those that are here and need to take that stronger step of faith, who need to say, God, I can't fix it on my own. I can't deal with the loneliness. I can't deal with the brokenness. I can't deal with what's happened in the past, what I've seen and where I've been, that they would be able to say, God, I ask You to come and to take it and work with me and make me more like You. Lord God, I know when You make us more like You, then the circumstances of life will be very different. Help us to learn that and know that in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank You for being here.